The book of Acts is a great book in the Bible. It's full of the adventures of the first Christians. Christian adventure. What, you mean making cups of tea? Organising jumble sales? No, the adventure of taking the message of Jesus out and facing some serious opposition along the way. Acts is about the mission of Jesus in the world. And it's a mission that we are invited to be part of. Will you offer yourself to be a part of Jesus' mission? The mission that began in the book of Acts and continues today. So this term we're going to seek to learn from chapters 12 to 17 of the book of Acts. As Paul mentioned, Roe preached on chapters 1 to 11 last summer at our 9:30 service. And all his talks are available on the church website if you'd like to listen back to them. Just go onto the website and click on teaching. And they're under the heading Acts, Real Church Growth. And tonight I'm going to give you an introduction to the book, hopefully to whet your appetite and so that you'll come back wanting more as we study this term at the 6:30 service. It may also be helped you to listen to Rose's first sermon, which is an overview of the book of Acts. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we study the book of Acts over the next few months, please will you give us the gift of your Holy Spirit so that we can understand your word in our hearts. Please give us vision and hope and spiritual life in our bones. Please empower us to share your gospel to the ends of the earth. Amen. And this evening we're going to ask three questions. The first of which is, what is the book of Acts all about? What is the book of Acts all about? Well, as many of you will know, the author of Acts is a man called Luke, Dr. Luke, who wrote a biography of Jesus' life, which is in the New Testament. And he begins Acts by writing in chapter 1, verse 1, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach." So when he says his former book, he's talking about the gospel that he wrote about Jesus' life. All that Jesus did and taught before he ascended into heaven. Now the really cool thing is that word "began." All that Jesus began to do and teach. And the implication of this is that the things in Acts are also the things which he did and taught. So it's not like it stopped when Jesus ascended into heaven and then the apostles took over. No, Jesus continues his work of doing and teaching through the apostles. So he gives them the Holy Spirit, he empowers them and gives them a preaching ministry to continue doing his work on earth. Now listen to what Jesus says in chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And it may help you to have your Bible open for this bit. It's on page 1092. Jesus said to the apostles, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So what is the book of Acts all about? It's about the apostles being witnesses to Jesus. And he's going to give them the Holy Spirit. He's going to empower them to do this task of witnessing. And this witnessing was to be a progressive thing, starting in Jerusalem, the heart of Jewish culture, where the apostles were living, then moving out into the wider Jewish culture of Judea, the country around Jerusalem, then into Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Let me just explain about Samaria. You may have heard the parable of the Good Samaritan. He was from Samaria. Well, it's a story that Jesus made up, but he was using someone from Samaria. You may have heard of Samaritans, so you can call on the telephone when things are going belly up. Put those Samaritan guys to the side for a moment. In the Old Testament, God gave the promised land to the 12 tribes of Israel, the descendants of Abraham. But things went wrong when Solomon sinned against God, and the 12 tribes were split from being one nation into two. In the south, there were two nations, and they became known as Judah. In the north, there were 10. They became known as Israel. But as the centuries went on, Israel became more and more unfaithful, and they intermarried with the surrounding nations. So they ceased to really be authentically Jewish or Israelite people. And that's the area that became Samaria. And because it was so kind of half-baked, and because of the history of it, there were tensions between Judah and Samaria. So that just explains a little bit about this country, Samaria. And what we need to recognize is that the gospel was spreading geographically as it went from Jerusalem, Judea, ends of the earth. It was also spreading culturally from Jewish culture into half-baked Jewish culture, that's Samaria, and then into pagan Roman and Greek culture as it went out. So it was crossing cultures as it went. And this verse, chapter 1, verse 8, is a little roadmap for the book of Acts. If you want a summary of the book of Acts, it's there in chapter 1, verse 8. And that's what we're going to see as we study this term. We're going to see chapter 1, verse 8 unpacked as we go through the book. Now, as it says, Acts begins in Jerusalem. And in chapter 2, the promised Holy Spirit is poured out on the apostles in an extraordinary way. What seem to be tongues of fire come down and rest on each of the apostles, and they start speaking in foreign languages, languages which they hadn't been taught when they were growing up. Now, this happens at the time of the Jewish festival of Pentecost. And at this time, each year, Jewish people from all the surrounding countries would gather in Jerusalem. So Jews from Greek countries down in Egypt, from all over the place would travel to Jerusalem. And they heard the apostles speaking in their own native languages. So miraculously, the Jews from Egypt would have heard them speaking Egyptian. It really was an amazing day. Peter preached about Jesus being the Christ, and 3,000 of these Jews repented and put their faith in Jesus. It really was an incredible day. It was the birth of the church. So the apostles witnessed to Jesus in Jerusalem, and they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is beginning to happen as Jesus promised. Now, one of the themes of Acts is the growth and the spread of the Word of God. And this phrase, the Word of God, occurs 11 times in the book. Let me read you a couple of examples. They'll come up on the screen. After the apostles prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God boldly. Chapter 4. So the Word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Chapter 6. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Acts chapter 8. The message is going out. It's reached Samaria. Chapter 11. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. It's gone to people beyond Jewish culture by chapter 11. Chapter 12. And the word of God continued to increase and spread. So this is one of the themes of the book. As the apostles witness, they do it by preaching the word of God. Jesus has empowered them to do this with his Spirit. And to show the importance of preaching the word of God, Luke records several sermons that the apostles gave. So Peter, his preaching is recorded in chapter 2, then again in 3, 4 and 5. Then in chapter 7, we have an extended sermon by a man called Stephen. In chapter 8, we hear Philip doing some one-to-one witnessing to an Ethiopian official. So in each case, the word is going out, it's being preached, and they're witnessing to Jesus. And alongside the preaching of the word, The apostles perform miraculous signs and wonders in Jesus' name. In chapter 4, Peter and John heal a lame man who was begging outside the temple. And this miracle fuels their preaching. It makes people, sit up and listen. So at the beginning of Acts, signs and wonders go hand in hand with the preaching of God's word. The word of God is, if you like, adorned by these signs and wonders that Jesus does through the apostles. They're very much part of the apostles' witness. And as we work our way through chapters 12 to 17 over the next few weeks, we'll see how different people respond to the preaching of the word and the miracles that the apostles do. So they go to different towns and cities, they go to different countries. How will different types of people respond to the preaching of the word and the miracles? That's what we're going to see as we go through. We're going to see what happens when the word of God first reaches Europe, including the Greek cultural capital of Athens. How do different cultures respond to the word? And this leads us into our second question for this evening. How do you respond to the word of God? Acts is all about sending the word of God out. Well, how do you respond to the word of God? Our first reading this evening was from the book of Luke. That's the former book he mentions at the beginning of Acts. And Luke and Acts are really two volumes of the same story. And it's good to read them together. In the New Testament, John's Gospel is sandwiched in between the two. But I'm looking forward to the day when someone publishes them both just together in a small booklet. It's good to read them together. And Luke, in his former book, records Jesus' parable of the sower, which we heard read this evening. The story is a simple picture of a farmer sowing his seed in a field. He goes out and scatters the seed. And then we find out what happens to the seed as it falls on four different areas of ground, different types of soil. And from Luke chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus explains the meaning of the parable. And we're just going to take a few minutes to consider that now. And it would help me if you had that passage in front of you. It's on page 1037 in the church Bibles. In verse 11, Jesus explains the meaning of the parable. And he says, the seed is the word of God. The seed which the farmer scatters in the story represents the word of God. So in the story of the sowing of the seed, it represents the preaching and telling of the word of God. And this is what is happening in the book of Acts. The seed of the word of God is being scattered out across different kinds of people in different kinds of countries. It's about the planting of God's word into people's hearts. And there are four different types of people in the story, represented by four different types of ground. So each type represents a different kind of listener to the word of God. How do we listen to God's word? What kind of listeners are we? Each group of hearers responds in a different kind of way. Each group has a different enemy which seeks to take the word of God away from them. And each group, there's a different result. Let's just have a look at those. So the four types of ground are the path, rock, ground where thorns grows up around the seed, and then good soil. On the path, these kind of people, the word is taken away from their hearts. On the rock, the word is received by the people with joy. We aren't told about the response of the among thorns people, but the good soil people retain the word and then they persevere with it. And what are the enemies of these people and the word? Well, it's the devil who takes away the word from the path people. Times of testing cause the rock people to fall away. They hear the message, they respond with initial joy, but then later on, when times get tough, maybe bereavement or financial hardship or some persecution because of what they believe. These kind of things come in and they give up and fall away. So the people amongst thorns, their enemy are life's worries, the troubles of this life, the riches of this life, and life's pleasures. These things come in and choke the word of God so that they don't mature. So the result, the path people, they don't believe the word of God and they're not saved. The rock people fall away. The among thorns people don't mature in their faith. And the good soil people persevere and produce a crop. Now, as we look at the book of Acts, we will see these different responses to the sowing of God's word as it's taken out by the apostles to different countries, different communities. They preach the same message about Jesus in each synagogue, in each town, and yet there are different responses. In Jerusalem, when Peter preaches, 3,000 people respond with initial joy. Amazing, amazing response. And yet, in the same city of Jerusalem, the Jewish governing body, the Sanhedrin, is largely made up of path people. And in chapter 8, they persecute the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles are scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. In chapters 8 and 9, we meet Paul, who's a persecutor of the church. He really hates the church. He hates the church so much that he asks the high priest for a letter so that he can go around synagogues and anywhere he meets someone who follows Jesus, he can arrest that person and take them back and imprison them in Jerusalem. He hates the church. He looks like a path person. But in chapter 9, he has a vision of Jesus and he accepts the word of God. So he looks like a path person, but in fact he turned out to be good soil. So Acts is all about the progress of the sowing of the word of God. The seed is the word. How does this mission progress? And we're going to see that as we go through Acts over the next few weeks. But how do you respond to the word of God? What's your response to the preaching of God's word? Which soil type do you think that you are? What kind of soil are you? Are you a path person? Are you a rock person? Are you amongst thorns? Or are you good soil? Which soil type are you? Now, presumably the rock people, those are the ones that respond with initial joy. They hear the message, they're filled with joy. To start with, they look like good soil, don't they? You think, yeah, that person's become a Christian. Look how enthusiastic they are. But later they fall away. So don't be overconfident. Making a good start isn't enough. You need to persevere. Don't be overconfident. But equally, the Apostle Paul looked like he was a path person, didn't he? He hated the church. But he turned out in the long run to be good soil. So don't be discouraged. Keep going in the Christian faith. And I think one of the subtleties of the story is that the people who are actually rock people and among thorns people may well feel like they're good soil people. And people who are actually good soil people quite often may feel like they're rock people and they're amongst thorns. But it's the persevering that shows what kind of soil you really are. So persevere, keep going in the Christian faith. And which of those enemies do you think is most likely to be your problem? Will it be a time of testing that will drag you down? When hardship comes? Some kind of suffering? Will you turn to God in your suffering? Or will you turn away and say, no, I can't, that was so bad, I can't believe in a God? How will you respond to times of testing? What about the worries of this life? Or the riches of this life? Or the pleasures of this life? This isn't to say we can't enjoy good things, but rather it's being consumed by them so that they come and they displace Jesus. They displace the word of God. so that we don't mature. What's your enemy that you need to watch out for? Presumably, for all of us, there are enemies. But be aware, know your enemy, so that when it comes, you aren't deceived, but you persevere. So how do you respond to the word of God? Will you be the good soil that perseveres? Well, moving on. As we apply this idea of the sowing of God's word, there are two ways in which we can look at it. Firstly, we can consider ourselves as those who receive the word of God, so it's kind of scattered on us by the farmer. That's what happens when you listen to preaching, when you read the scriptures, when you're in house group, when you're at fuel. You can think of it in that way, as we've just done. But also we can think about it from the angle of us as the ones doing the sowing. And that's our third and final question. Will you be a word sower? I'm trying to sow the word to you at this very moment. And in a sense, the parable of the sower is taking place as I speak. In real time, it's happening. How are you responding to the word? Each of us can participate in Jesus' mission to sow the word of God. Home group leaders, well, they're sowing the word of God regularly each week. CBSI leaders, they're sowing the word. Sunday club leaders are sowing the word. Pathfinder, WAC, and fuel leaders, they're sowing the word. The Royal Holloway Mission starts in a week's time. That's a great opportunity for students to sow the word on campus. And I really hope it goes very well. I'm very excited to hear what happens during that week. Will you continue the work of the apostles that they started 2,000 years ago? Will you be a word sower? The book of Acts has 28 chapters. And we see the word of God being preached in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And then it goes through many countries, finishing up in chapter 28 with Paul preaching in Rome. And Rome was the capital of, it was the antithesis, the opposite of Jewish Jerusalem culture. It was pagan, it was the center of pagan, anti-Jewish culture. It was, in a sense, the ends of the earth for the people in Jerusalem at that time. But the work still continues to the ends of the earth today. Acts has 28 chapters, but I wonder if you've heard of the Acts 29 network. This is a church planting network for pastors and leaders who are looking to start new church congregations at the moment. And I like the title, Acts 29, because it acknowledges that Jesus' mission didn't finish when Paul reached Rome. It didn't finish with Acts 28. It's still going on today, and we can be part of Acts chapter 29. Will you be a part of it? Operation World is a book that can clue you up about the work of Jesus, the progress of the mission of Jesus at this point in history. It's a brilliant book. And it gives statistics on the current state of Jesus' mission. According to Operation World, there are 6,909 languages in the world. Don't quite know how they work that out. Amazing thing to work out. Of these, 457 have a complete Bible in their language. That's quite a big gap. That sounds quite bad, actually, doesn't it? But you need to remember that most people in the world speak at least two languages. But even with that, there are still 200 million people who still have no Bible in their language. Could you work as a Bible translator? Could you give your life to sowing the Word of God in that way? Operation World shows us the percentage of Christians in each country of the world. The dark blue or the dark grey on the screen are the countries with the most Christians, and the countries in white are those with the least, less than 5%. I have to say, with the dark blue countries, it's quite generous, and that's taking Christian at the most vague kind of census approach. So there's work to be done all over the world, but there is particular work to do in those countries which are white on the map. And as you can see, I hope, those are mainly countries in the middle, starting at the top of Africa, moving through Saudi Arabia into India and China. And some years ago, that was called the 1040 window because of the latitude and longitude on the map, that kind of chunk, which is the least Christian part of the world. Might you go there as a word sower? Do you have language skills? Could you learn a foreign language and live in a foreign culture? Now, many of the countries in this least Christian part of the world are Muslim countries, Islamic cultures. Could you be a word sower in a Muslim country? Our mission of the month in January is Arab World Ministries, and they run short summer mission trips called Edge Teams. One of these is a four-week team this July in London. During the summer, the Arab community in London swells by tens of thousands with visitors from the Arab world. And many of these people come from countries which are virtually closed to the gospel. You're not allowed to preach the gospel. Missionaries are not allowed to enter in to this country. It's very difficult. They have to work maybe in some other kind of profession to share the gospel. Could you join this London summer team to be a word sower? So from the angle of us as sowers, we've thought about us as receiving the word, now thinking about us as sowers. Jesus' parable helps us not to be discouraged if people who we share the word of God with either reject it, or they respond with joy but then give up, or they don't mature. The parable of the sower helps us to not be discouraged because it tells us that's the way it is. Some people will respond and persevere, others won't. So it gives us courage to keep going in the face of disappointment. Our job is to faithfully sow the word. And we need to remember that Acts, everything that Jesus began to do and teach, that shows us that it's Jesus' mission. He is the farmer. We're just laborers on his farm. It's his work to run the farm and to scatter the seed. So will you be a word sower? Will you, so to speak, take up the job to work on Jesus' farm and to do his work?